Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Matt Giglio.
I'm in Dong. 191 days into the 2022-2023 season begins.
Yes, sir. Time's ticking, man. Already in May, which is beautiful to hear. Today is a very special day for this podcast. We have another interview today. Today we do welcome former Southeast Missouri star and Mississippi State commit Eric Reed Jr. in the house today. Eric, how are we doing today?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Doing fantastic. Feel good. Look good. You know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How excited are you for this season to begin in 191 days?
Man, excited. You know, it's I describe it as like a dream come true. You know, you finally get the opportunity to play at a high major. You know, you got all the lights on you. So, you know, it's all a rush, but it's all part of the game. It makes it fun.
Yeah, you've had a fantastic career so far, but we have to take it back to the beginning. How'd you get into basketball, and who was your favorite player growing up?
So the way I got into basketball, so the first sport I actually played was golf. And when I eventually kept telling my dad that I want to go try basketball, and you know, he took me to a gym. It was a little local gym, and I was like, might have been 4 years old, and I was throwing the ball at the rim, and that's how I got into basketball. And my favorite player growing up would probably be Chris Paul. I don't know if you guys remember the Chris Paul when he was with New Orleans Hornets, but that was one of my favorite players to watch growing up as a kid.
Yeah, man, CP3 and the Hornets, man. That's a long time ago, but yeah, that was one of his best moments, I'd say. I'm not trying to make it old by any means. That's not what I meant at all. But let's talk about the recruiting process real quick. So first and foremost, how many schools are offered to you, and what was that process like? And eventually, obviously, you did choose to go to the JUCO route at Howard. What was that process like for you first time?
You talking about coming out of high school?
Yes, sir. First time.
Oh, yeah. Depressingly, coming out of high school, I only had two NAIA offers. So I had LSUA and Xavier in New Orleans. And, you know, the first time around, you know, me and my dad, we would take 12, 13-hour drives, you know, to work out for coaches, you know, to see if we can get an offer. And, you know, we did that a couple times, and none of them, you know, I didn't get an offer from no Division I college, no Division II college. You know, they were all JUCOs and NAIAs. And, you know, the difference between, I guess this time, you want to know what about after JUCO and
– We'll talk about that later. We just want a high school JUCO at the moment.
Yeah, and then JUCO, I'd say once I got out of JUCO, it was a lot more, you know, a lot more coaches, you know, hitting me up. I had NJIT, Incarnate Word, Utah Valley, Albany U, Southeastern Missouri, UNO, Sam Houston, and schools like that. And, you know, it was a process, you know, with the COVID year coming out of JUCO, and I was kind of in a rush. I felt like just to sign somewhere, you know, and made a big impact on where I was going to go to school.
Yeah, and ultimately, why did you choose SEMO?
I chose SEMO, you know, because one, strictly because, you know, I have a relationship with Coach Korn and Coach Yoder, and you know, I met the rest of the coaching staff. They're all great people, but those two alone, you know, I had a really good relationship with them. You know, they were once all of my offers fell through after COVID, you know, they were the first coaches to really reach out, and, you know, I was their first recruit. And, you know, it was just the relationship, and Coach Korn and all those guys and all the staff here is great, great people. And I'm thankful for them, you know, to perplex me to, you know, this point in my career.
Definitely agree with you. And obviously that first year at SEMO was a pretty good one for you. You averaged 11 points per game. 2.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 48% from three, which is pretty incredible. Obviously your first year, how different was that D1 first year in comparison to JUCO?
I'd say the difference, you know, my first year coming to D1, you know, it was a bit of a jump, you know, as far as like the pace and, you know, you're playing a certain type of game. You know, in JUCO, it's, you know, you're pretty much on an island, you know, you got to worry about a guy going off for 30 every night. And it's like, you know, not necessarily a game plan going playing against JUCO guys. But I say the biggest difference was really just the speed of the game and just knowing the scouting report. You know, the scouting report is big. And once you get to these higher levels, man, like, it's big time.
Yeah. And obviously this past year you produced 16 points, 3 rebounds, 1.5 assists. You also made the Ohio Valley Conference all conference first team. And as a team, you guys had a very good, successful year, obviously making the top half of the standings and making it to the semifinals of the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament. What do you think of your second season at SEMO?
Oh yeah, I think individually, you know, I think I played had a really good season. You know, didn't shoot the ball as well as I wanted to, but you know, 42% isn't bad. It'd be nice to get to that 50, 40, 90 area, but I think individually I had a good run my second year, much better than the first year, and I also think that you know, other than that, you know, I think we could have possibly won the tournament. We ended up losing to Murray State, who ended up, you know, beating us in the long run. But it wasn't a bad season. You know, made history at SEMO, so it's always a good thing.
Definitely, and I do remember that last regular season game against Murray State. That was a fantastic game. I believe you lost that game by 2, I believe it was, but that was an incredible game, and we were definitely watching that from a standpoint, because obviously we're big on March Madness, and SEMO was definitely seen as an upset for the OVC, and a team that definitely could have won it all, but regardless, obviously it was a fantastic season thus far. And then going into this offseason now, obviously big things for you. You did enter the portal. How hard was it to actually decide to end up leaving SEMO?
It was a very hard decision, because, you know, you come in, you know, new coaching staff, and, you know, you really build strong relationships, you know, just, you know, as a coaching staff, I feel bad, you know, if I was a coach for SEMO, because just you build the relationship, and it's like, you know, you want what's best for your player. You know, for me, I wanted what's best for my career and what was going to help me get to that next level. And, you know, it was a really tough decision, because you look back at it, you know, all the accolades that could have possibly came, and just us winning the OVC would have been something big and something that SEMO, you know, definitely deserves. But you know, it was a tough decision when it was all said and done.
Yeah, and your third time being recruited, obviously, lots of more well-known programs contacting you. What was it like being contacted by high major coaches this time around?
If I'm being honest with you, probably one of the most annoying processes. You know, it felt good, you know, to be wanted, but just one of the, like, once you enter the portal, not even 2 minutes later, you know, you get a ding, you know, you get the ding the whole entire day. But you know, it was definitely, you know, it felt good to be wanted. Felt, you know, finally felt respected as a player, because, you know, coming out of high school, getting 2 NAI offers, and it's like all of a sudden everybody, you know, everybody's after you, everybody wants you. So, you know, it feels good, feel respected, and you know, that was the fun part about the process, I feel like.
Definitely. And obviously you had a long list of high major schools that reached out to you, and obviously a couple days ago you did end up making the decision. Mississippi State Bulldogs. Why Mississippi State? What was the big reason for you to end up going there?
The reason why I chose Mississippi State, you know, was you know, the Chris Jans and his winning culture, and the winning culture that he brings in. I told him that, you know, whatever happens, you know, I want to be a part of the winning culture. You know, I want to be the guy that you coach the hardest, and you know, I want to, you know, take on, you know, the culture that you bring on, you know, and in Mississippi State, you know, it's a little bit closer to home. You know, weather's a little bit better. But it was just, you know, just the relationships I have with Coach Jans and Coach Miller. You know, they're two great guys.
Mm-hmm. And you're also currently testing NBA draft waters. What is that process like, and what are you learning?
It's interesting. You know, because when you have that year of eligibility left, you have to be careful. So, you know, with me, you know, I chose to test the waters, you know, maintain the eligibility. I say the thing is, you know, you hear a lot of things from certain agents that NCAA certified agents, you hear a lot of stuff from those people. And, you know, just you get the feedback from different scouts, and you get the feedback from, you know, GMs and different teams and stuff like that. You know, it's been an interesting process. You know, I've been using it to dissect my game, you know, going back and watching film on myself. So it's been a process. It hasn't been necessarily exciting, but it's been a decent process.
Definitely agree. And obviously coming up is your last year eligibility, like you said, whether you plan to use that or not. Just a quick recap, obviously, on your career thus far, your own report of your game, and some big goals you have with for yourself and for the team this upcoming season.
Oh yeah, you know, the big goal that I have set for myself for this upcoming season would probably be just, you know, showing that I can be this consistent, you know, even at a high major, showing more of my playmaking ability, which I think is a little underrated, just because I shoot the ball very well, and you know, and individually being a better defense, just becoming an overall better player. I feel like that's going to be important as far as my development, and also, you know, you know, just like everybody else said, Mississippi State, that stand, you know, the goal is to always win the SEC, you know, win your conference, you know, and that's going to be one of the biggest things that we look forward to.
Yeah, and obviously you played 4 years of college basketball. We asked every Division I player we've interviewed this. You've guarded thousands of players. You've scored on thousands of players. Who was the toughest player to guard, and who was the toughest player to score on?
Ooh, I had to think about this one. I'd say out of these past 4 years in college, I'd say the toughest person that I had to guard would have probably been, if I'm being 100% honest, the toughest person I had to guard was this last year, KJ Simon from UT Martin. He's a lefty. A lefty can shoot a little bit, take it to him, very explosive. He's just, you know, he's one of those freak athletes. You know, got a nice little wiggle to him when he coming off the dribble. So I think, you know, he was one of the toughest people that I had to guard. I'd say the toughest person that I had to score on would probably be I'd probably easily say Terry Taylor. Terry Taylor from – I don't know if you guys remember Terry Taylor. He was at Austin Peay,
right?
Yeah, last year. He's one of the toughest people to score on. Just because he's lanky, you know, he's got those long – he got the long arms, very, very athletic. Actually playing – y'all know y'all seen him. He's playing for Indiana.
Pacers, yeah. That's yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, dude, he's a player, bro. Like, I never seen a dude get that many rebounds, that many points, you know, after every possession. You know what I'm saying? And just the way he defends the rim, the way he guards, he's a good player.
Yeah, and I believe he signed to a contract. Is that right?
Yeah, he did. He signed a multi-year, multi-million-dollar contract for the Pacers.
Man, that's incredible. And obviously that's something you're definitely looking forward to as well with an NBA team. And speaking of that, what do you want to do when your career ends? What's the next step for you? Obviously, it probably is the NBA, but just a little bit more in detail on what you really want to do.
I want to get to the NBA. But, you know, if that doesn't, you know, go as planned, I would say I want to get into coaching. Want to coach the highest, you know, at the highest level possible, you know, whether that be NCAA, NBA, overseas, you know, just getting into the coaching realm, just because, you know, as a player, you it's exciting to go through scouting reports, watch film on guys, watch how they move, you know, what's their favorite move and all that stuff. That stuff is exciting to me, man. So I would say coaching would be something that I get into, or player development or something like that.
Yeah. Is there any particular player you model your game around or watch frequently?
That's a good question. And I get asked that often. It's not really a player that I try to like mimic, but there's certain pieces of certain players. Like I try to take certain moves and you know, certain things from different players. Like I might go watch Jason Tatum, you know, and just his footwork, you know what I'm saying? Not, you know, I can't do things that Jason Tatum does. He's 6'10", obviously, but, you know, just watching his footwork. I like to watch Devin Booker a lot, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul, Terry Rozier, Fred VanVleet, like those type of guys. Like I like to take pieces of their game and just see if I can implement it into my game.
Definitely. And speaking of NBA players, a couple quick final question. What are your predictions for this playoffs? Because it's been a pretty eventful one thus far. Any predictions? I'm assuming you're a New Orleans Pelicans fan. Is that right?
Yeah.
unfortunate. Hey, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, sadly, I was going for the Pelicans, but I'm glad that we made it into game six. I was hoping we get it to game seven, but game six, you know, I'm happy my Pelicans competed. If I'm being 100% honest, I think the team that's probably going to win it all would be the Warriors, just because, you know, they got that three-headed snake. They're the three leading scorers in the playoffs right now. You know what I'm saying? I want to see John Morant win, but I just don't think they're going to overcome the Warriors. The way that they're playing right now, it's going to be hard to beat them.
Yeah, we're Celtics fans. We're from Boston, so, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Boston looking really good too. Very physical against KD.
Mm-hmm, indeed, yeah. That was a very impressive defensive performance for them. And, that was awesome. But, unfortunate to see the Pelicans obviously lose. If they had Zion game seven, who knows what would have happened, man. I really don't know, man.
Yeah, what do you think about Alvarado? You like him?
Man, oh, he's – hey, dog, bro. He's a dog, man. I love everything about him. He's one of those. He gives me hope. You know what I'm saying? As a guy who doesn't have a lot of you know physical features that's very appealing. You know, he's a short guy, but he calls us. You gotta look for him everywhere on the court, on defense and offense. So he's a great player. Great piece to the Pelicans.
Yeah, that's definitely Min's favorite player if you had to pick one. But obviously, I think that is all we got for today, Eric. Man, we thank you once again for coming on, and we hope for the best at Mississippi State this year, and definitely hoping to catch a game if you're in our area. We'll definitely see. Obviously, we're both at college, so obviously we'll have to see your schedule, but definitely looking forward to seeing you play if we can catch a game. Any final words before we close this thing out today?
Nah, man. Thank you for the time. You know, I appreciate, you know, it's always nice to do these things, and I really appreciate y'all having me on here.
Yeah, thank you for spending your time with us as well. But yeah, guys, I guess that's all we have for today. Thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, it's always March.
It's always March, baby. Thank you guys for tuning in.